Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Hello, First Things First listeners. This is Skip Bayless. Weekdays on Undisputed, I debate my co-host Shannon Sharp on the biggest sports news of the day. But now it is time for me to unleash in a brand new way. Introducing the Skip Bayless Show. My opportunity to share behind-the-scenes stories about things I've seen and confrontations I've had from decades covering the NFL and NBA. This is an opportunity to go so much deeper into solo opinions that just don't fit in rapid-fire debate. I will respond to your no-holds-barred question. You can ask me anything about why I've said what I've said or about what goes on off-camera on Undisputed. Your question should be as provocative as you want. My answer sure will be. New episodes of The Skip Bayless Show will come out each week. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts.
What a game in Brooklyn last night. KD versus Giannis. And in the end, the Greek Freak was just a little more freaky, guys. Did Giannis prove he's the best player in the world? The Sixers got big problems. Ooh. Did Doc Rivers call out James Harden for last night's loss? And Nick, you were saying it all night. Bet on the right team and those tickets pay for themselves. Good Friday morning, everyone.
Watch the end.
Welcome to a fantastic show.
Look at this great
First things first.
And a delighted man.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Who is
that? Someone
had
a blazer out in public.
Who's that maniac?
Someone had a good time last night. You have a good time, buddy?
I had a good time. People
Nick
ask me, why do you pay for tickets? Why don't you get a media pass? Because with a media pass, you can't have this moment. You can't irresponsibly gamble on the game and then jump with joy like a kid on Christmas. What a night! What a night!
I thought you'd be more courtside. All right, of course we have to start at Barclays Center. Nets and Bucks. Sorry about that. Touche. Glad you were there. Former MVPs Giannis and KD and Nick, who was sitting almost courtside and live tweeting so that I could sit on my couch and watch from home. Thanks, buddy. You're such a good friend. What a game. Came down to KD with a shot to win it at the end of regulation. Came down to another shot for him to win it in overtime. He missed both. Both shots did not go in. So Milwaukee wins this one. So many angles we are going to get to today, but afterwards, let's start with this. KD talking about the two looks he got after the game.
I felt like they both looked good leaving my hands. That one, I shot over. Giannis came over there late and contested, but I still feel like I got a good look up. But, you know, two people on me and a 7-footer at that. You know, it is what it is, but I felt like I got two good shots.
So, Nick, do you think Kevin Durant should take the blame for the loss after missing two game-winning shots?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the life of an NBA superstar, right? That's the life of the greatest scorer of his generation. You're supposed to score. However, in Kevin Durant's defense, I'm going to say something that I don't know if you know, and you know a lot, my friend. Did you know that if Kevin Durant just wore a size 17 sneaker, he still misses both those shots and they lose? Like, it's actually wasn't this. We can't say the sneaker thing. We can't say, oh, it was this close. No, sorry, buddy. Such is life.
I mean,
I've got to listen to J.J. Redick, Wild's buddy, talk about top three players in the league, and Giannis isn't one of them, but of course KD is. I've got to listen to people say best scorers of all time. KD's one of them, but his contemporary forward who scores as much as him and does it more efficiently, not one of them. I got to listen to all of this for a guy that now five times in a row has gone up against the best player alive and five times in a row has gone home with a loss in one hand and his phone in the other. That's what I got to listen to. So, yeah, sorry. Like, here's the deal. You are now, and I know there's plenty of time left, guys. We have five games left in the season. Plenty of time for the Nets to prove they're not a team that's going to blow a 9-point lead with the ball with 3 minutes left. We're plenty of time to prove they're someone other than the team we've seen. but they are currently, Brew, tied with the Hornets and the Hawks for the 8-9-10 spot, and they play the Hawks on Saturday. Would you be shocked if they lose to the Hawks on Saturday? Because I wouldn't be. Everyone's talking about, can the Nets make the finals? We're about to be having to talk, will the Nets get out of the play-in? So, yeah, the games matter. The shots matter. Those are tough shots, but tough shot maker. So you got to make them. So, yeah, he at least deserves, you know, a touch, a skosh of blame, I would say.
Well, yeah, a skosh. I mean, the blaming the whole game on Kevin Durant, no. Because, like you said, they led by 9 with 3 minutes left. You got to finish. Let's see this Wesley Matthews offensive rebound. These are the plays that helped them lose that 9-point lead. All right, first of all, why is Bruce Brown, we're going to see the highlight. Why is Bruce Brown on the inside? Okay, he's 6'4". Kevin Durant should be in there, number one. If you got Brown in there, you got to get the rebound. Box out Matthews. Giving up offensive rebounds on missed free throws, that is a no-no at every level of basketball. So that's number one. KD missing the shots. I don't blame him because it shouldn't have came down to that. But here's what I look at the end of games on potential game-winning shots. I look at body language. I look at, does the guy want the ball or is he running away from it? I look at how aggressively he tries to get to his spot and does he shoot it with confidence. And you guys know, you can tell when a guy wants it or doesn't. Kevin Durant wanted it. There's no doubt about it. He went to his spot, missed a tough contested shot over Giannis and Wesley Matthews. I can't blame him at all for that. Here's what I will blame him for, and somewhat today's basketball world, Wilds, the overtime miss on the three-pointer. Kevin Durant got a good look, put up a good shot, just missed it. But Durant, if you look at this play, look at Goran Dragic, the inbounder, wide open.
No.
Durant should have passed it to Dragic. Look at that. A wide open dunk.
No.
There was a minute, a second and a half left. No, let me finish. Let me finish.
Okay.
Michael Jordan, today there is an emphasis on hero ball, and we always, he's got to take the last shot. The best player's got to take the last shot. LeBron has been dogged by that erroneously throughout his entire career. I've never joined that chorus because I want my best player making the right play. It might be the shoot. It might be the pass. Michael Jordan, while it's the famous double nickel game, what'd he do at the end of the game? Pass it off to Bill Winnington for a dunk. What'd he do in the finals with Steve Kerr? Pass it off for the game winning shot. Kevin Durant should have passed. Dragic is wide open. Come on, that's what he should have done, and they would have won that game with a dunk or a layup by Dragic. So that's where I fought KD on that. But again, some of that is our overemphasis. You got to take the last shot. No, how about making
that's
right
so wild
play?
I agree with Brew. Just quickly, Wilds, just real quick. What? In Durant's defense there, though, Dragic was not one of the people listed by Kyrie of teammates he finally has who can hit game winners. It was KD. So KD probably had that weighing on him. Like, oh, I finally have a teammate who can hit these shots. And then, you know, so it's just tough. Like, Dragic wasn't on the team yet. Maybe he would have been listed, but KD's thinking, Kyrie said it has to be like, I'm the first teammate he's had that can hit these shots. I don't want to let Kai down. So there's that too. But go ahead, Wild. Sorry.
All right. I much rather KD take the shot and miss it, then pass it, and maybe time runs out. Yes, 100%.
It was a second
I'm half. Big on, you know, dance with who you came with. We're going to live or die with KD. He's going to, you know, get fouled in the corner, walk up confidently, and hit those three free throws. I'm 100% in on KD taking the last shot. I don't blame him for missing them and losing the game. I just thought it was like a heavyweight fight. Somebody has to win. Giannis ends up winning. The one thing I will ask you, Broussard, did you find it strange that maybe in 28 other teams, that ball's going to Kyrie? And Kyrie was kind of a non-factor. And I know we talk about the narrative always of like who gets the last shot. I think it's Steve Nash made it pretty obviously like KD. Like, you're going to inbound, and then Drew's going to lock you up, I guess, just go and try to you know, create space. But I was surprised that Kyrie was a non-factor. Were you?
Yeah, and that's part of the blame, too. That's why it can't all fall on Durant's shoulders. I mean, Kyrie didn't do much during the late in the game. Now, he helped carry them early while Durant was struggling. As far as Durant had 9 points into the third quarter, like deep into the third quarter, if not through three quarters. So Durant didn't score much early. He came on late. But I would call the play for Durant. And like I said, even if he doesn't pass to Dragic, which, again, he should have, that's not a bad look. You'll take that look. And I think sometimes they'll call the play for Kyrie, too. You've got two closers. But Drew Holiday did a good job on Kyrie down the stretch. He had trouble getting space against Holiday.
Ken, I don't know if we can run the film real quick of the previous shot. If we're going to parse this on what the first game-winning attempt that was missed, the other issue, and again, I'm sorry to always be banging on Nash, but look at the court. You've got three. I understand they're going four low, so in theory, you're going to, you know, be able to get KD a shot. But you have three guys in the near corner all by each other, which is one of the reasons Giannis can so carefree about the help defense, because you can guard those three guys with two players. Because there's Kai is in the corner by himself. And by the way, I think that's the design. That's a bad design, man. That's just like when you see it, and they had plenty of time. That possession started with 18 seconds left. They got what they wanted. But I don't think that's what you should want there. But I do hope, however, that they have this squared away. But, you know, in the next couple weeks, when they're playing a do or die game against Atlanta, to get the opportunity to play another do or die game against Charlotte. Like, listen, the soon to be champion Nets, they got to clean it up, boys.
Bucks with the big win over the Nets. We'll talk about the Giannis factor coming up in a little bit. We got to talk some Sixers first. Did Doc Rivers call out James Harden for the loss last night? And how'd he do it? We'll dive into that next. First things first.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
We are now 15 days away from the start of the USFL season. Kicks off with an historic inaugural game as the New Jersey Generals take on the Birmingham Stallions in prime time, April 16th on Fox and NBC. Getting closer. Excited about that. All right, back to the NBA. Talk some Sixers Pistons. And for a Philadelphia team built on elite offense and scoring, we didn't see much of that from James Harden last night. Harden, 4-for-15. That's not going to cut it. A disappointing loss to Detroit. Sixers bench, how about this? They got outscored 39-8 in this one. But Doc Rivers said after, his bench unit wasn't the only issue. Take a listen.
Well, they didn't struggle. They didn't get a lot of shots, you know, in their defense. I think during that stretch, it was more James, than them. So, it's just a tough night.
Ooh, that caught our attention. Bruce, are you okay with Doc calling out Harden?
You know I am, because I'm old school. This is called coaching. All right, I mean, come on, Doc. James Harden was 1-for-6 in the fourth quarter, 0-for-3 from three. All right, James Harden hit one basket in the final 30 minutes of the game. And Doc has watched James Harden, and I've been a Harden fan, but Doc has watched James Harden dribble, 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 pound, 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 and the ball movement has stopped. And everybody's watching James Harden. And if you know, that's why Doc said, well, they didn't get many shots, because it's kind of becoming all Harden one-on-one, all Embiid one-on-one to a large degree. Obviously, they're still running some two-man game and stuff like that. But that is what Doc's talking about. And James Harden, I know a lot of people will look at this and say, how could Doc do it again? That's what destroyed the relationship with Ben Simmons, Doc calling him out. But here's the thing. what is James Harden going to do? Really? Like, is he going to quit, pout and sulk and quit on a third straight team? A second straight contender? He can't. If he were to do that, it would destroy his reputation. All right? James Harden also wants, as you know, Nick, he wants the huge contract extension, right? The 4 years, $220-something million dollars that he'll probably want to sign at the end of this year. And so he's got to take this in stride, look in the mirror and say, you know what? I haven't been delivering. I'm a better player than this. Let me get back to playing James Harden basketball. Because look, the last six games, he has been horrible in the fourth quarter. He's looking like the Harden that wasn't playing up to his ability in the, with the Nets. Look at this. Last six games, 4-for-19. That's horrible. He's a superstar. And so I have no problem, Nick, with what Doc said. I hope Harden takes it the right way, because the way he's playing right now, this team is not going anywhere in the playoffs.
And if they don't go anywhere in the playoffs, then I don't think Doc Rivers is going to be the coach next year. And I think Doc probably knows that. And so he might be feeling it a bit. This was a terrible loss for Philly.
Agreed.
I've got to keep the same energy that I had for more energy for Brooklyn almost losing to the Pistons, to Philly actually losing to the Pistons and doing so in horrific fashion. I mean, what was it, 29-15 right. in the fourth quarter? Another blown fourth quarter lead for the Philadelphia 76ers. So all that's awful, and I think Doc is feeling it. With that said, Wilds, tell me if you think I'm reaching here. I don't think Doc was saying the struggles were more James Harden. I think if you listen to that quote, he's actually talking about who was taking the shots. Because he says, well, the bench unit didn't really get a lot of shots there. It was more James. So I don't think Doc was saying James. Now, it's true that the shots James was making or taking, he wasn't making. It's true that James was struggling. But I don't think Doc, when he was saying that, actually thought he was analyzing James's play. I think he thought he was giving just a cogent, like, you know, recap of shot distribution. And I think Twitter took it as a shot at James, and given the stuff with Ben, all of that. But I bet you this morning, Doc Rivers is a little irritated because I don't think that's what he was trying to do. Now, Brew is saying he would be fine with it if it was what he was trying to do. I would not think it's a good idea. I would not think that is the road Doc wants to travel down right now, is calling out another star. Because it doesn't, listen, but we can't, because we don't live in a utopic society.
They're too sensitive?
No. Yeah.
I mean, was what he said that bad?
No, but again, let's.
Yeah,
so
Ben Simmons is too sensitive. Here's the thing. We all know that.
Okay. Well, I guess my point is you can either do what should be able to, you can either operate, I should be able to do something. Or you can operate in the reality of maybe I should be able to do something, but it's not going to help. It's not going to have any positive effect. So I think Doc knows publicly calling out one of his players who is struggling is not going to have a positive effect, which is one of the reasons why I don't think that's what he was intending to do, even if that's the actual impact of what he said.
Sure. I think you're right. And I think Doc Rivers could have gone a step further. I think Doc Rivers could have pulled up this graphic if Dusty was on his staff. Maybe Dusty, hey, think about it, Dust. I'll write you a nice cover letter if you want to. Final 30-45, 4 points, 1 for 11, 0 for 6. Like, yeah, I think you're allowed to say James has been struggling and not have any repercussions. And I say, oh, how, Doc Rivers, how dare you speak facts on a post-game press conference? I think that's totally within his right. It's like he should be more aggressive in calling James out so after a bad game, he doesn't go to a birthday party or release highlight videos of the assist record or whatever he was sending out in a highlight video for. The only caveat, Broussard, I'll make a small turn here. Do you think that Doc bears some responsibility that the Sixers offense runs like, I don't know, an AAU team with like one kid who with one D1 prospect. Like, hey, let's give it to Brian. Let's see what Brian can. Like, hey, fire it up, Brian. It's your ball. Do you think that Doc bears some responsibility that sometimes the Sixers offense seems so one-dimensional when James is out there?
Absolutely. I mean, Doc's coaching the team. There is no doubt about it. He's got to emphasize the importance of ball movement. Harden's got to be dribbling and with a purpose, not just pounding the ball, showing off his handle. All right, and when he first got there, he was doing that, and Embiid obviously was thriving. Embiid's still putting up numbers, but a lot of it's ISO one-on-one. You do your thing, I do my thing. Yep. And Doc's got to keep emphasizing ball movement because they also got – I mean, we know Maxi can score. We know Tobias Harris can score. They've got other good players. So, yeah, a lot of that's on Doc. And I'll say this, Nick. I get where you're coming from, Nick, because you're right. A lot of these guys are sensitive. But if you can't take that, it wasn't like Doc was pounding on the table. James Harden's got to be better. This is ridiculous. It's none of that. He simply mentioned a fact, as Wild said. If James Harden or any other NBA player, for that matter, cannot take that, you're not winning a championship. You don't have the fortitude.
I get that.
You don't have the courage. You don't have the heart to win a championship if your coach can't say what Doc Rivers just said. I'm sorry. I mean, Doc wasn't harsh.
I understand that. I just think there is a difference between public and private criticism. And I think everybody agrees to some degree. I think that there is an argument to be made that in the film session, you should have the right to go as hard at anybody as you want as the head coach of the team. But publicly, I know Wilds has killed him for it all week, do the Frank Vogel. He's the MVP. He's the best. Publicly, always support. Privately, and then so I just think there's an argument for that. That's all I'm saying. I know we have more on this later. I just think there's an argument that public versus private is a big difference there.
Sometimes there's more accountability.
Again, if Doc had ripped him,
both of you guys are saying.
Fine. But he didn't rip him. He didn't rip him. He pointed out a fact gently, to be honest.
Stores to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. We're at Barclays Center. Nets and Bucks, former MVPs Giannis and Kevin Durant. What a game. This one came down to KD with a shot to win it at the end of regulation. He misses. Another shot to win it in overtime. He misses. He missed both of them. Nets lose. Logic tells us Bucks win. Nick, you think Kevin Durant takes the blame, should take the blame for the loss after missing two game-winning shots?
Well, yeah, you're going to get a share of it when you're one of the best players in the world. When Kyrie, you know, says you're his first teammate ever who can hit those types of shots. And then you have two opportunities against the actual best player in the world to beat him for the first time in almost a calendar year. And you miss them both. You're going to take some of the heat. But to me, Wilds, the almost bigger part of this is if last night was not enough to convince people that Giannis is a better basketball player than Kevin Durant, then nothing is going to be. He beat him in a series last year. Hmm. He won finals MVP. He's beat him five in a row. Five in a row, Giannis has played KD ever since the greatest game KD's ever played, the game five where he played all 48 and he was just, I think he had 50 in that game. Every time he's played Giannis, he's lost. And he had an opportunity to break that streak, Wilds, in a game the Nets desperately needed. Like, I know everybody's talking about, oh, nobody wants to play the Nets. Well, no, nobody might get to play the Nets after the play-in if they end up being the 9 or the 10 seed, which right now I think they're going to be. They are tied with Charlotte and Atlanta, all three, 8, 9, 10, and they play Atlanta on Saturday on the road. Trae Young's going to score 45 points on this defense. So I think it's a bad loss. They're up 9 with 3 minutes left with the ball. I think it's a tough moment for Kevin Durant. And I think that at this point, if you're not acknowledging the euphemistic you, not you, Kevin Wilds, that Giannis is clearly the best player in the world, then you have an agenda or you're not watching the games. Because I don't know what more the guy can do to prove it.
I agree with you, but I'm keeping the door open. I think Giannis is the best player in the world. I think he outplayed Kevin Durant last night. I think he should be the MVP. But for some reason, I'm just not ready to close the book entirely, Broussard. Like, I'm not blaming KD for missing that shot. I view this end of this game like a heavyweight fight where we saw two of the best people in the world going after it, and one person had to win and one person had to lose. But you don't look at the other guy who lost like, you know what? One more big hook. You like, no, I felt like they left it right. All out there. So I don't put any negativity on KD, and I don't close the book that maybe he can go back and claim number one status, even though the 5-0 in recent games is a strong argument in the other direction.
Wilds, you are right, and you're looking at it logically and correctly. But the reason this is a question, should KD get all the blame? In reality, of course not. KD carried them in the fourth quarter and overtime. He had, I think, 13 points in those fourth quarter and overtime. And those were two good shots, two tough shots that he just happened to miss. You're right. But the reason this is a question is what? Let's keep it real. Because if this were LeBron James... Then LeBron would be getting killed in some quarters. That's it. Yeah. It would be forget whatever LeBron did throughout the game. And Durant didn't really, he wasn't scoring through the first three quarters. You know, he was dropping some nice dimes, some nice passes, but he wasn't scoring.
But
if
really
it were LeBron,
late.
He would be getting, it would come down to those two shots, no matter how close they were, no matter how contested they were. And that's why this is a question. So, no, KD doesn't deserve all the blame. Sure, he deserves some. I think, guys, he should have passed it off to Goran Dragic. That's another thing that is maybe a result of the narrative. I don't know if that's affected Kevin Durant's mentality, but we have now bought into this hero ball. LeBron, Steph, KD, Kawhi, whoever the best player on your team is, has got to take the last shot. No. How about the best player on your team, or maybe not even him, making a great play? Kevin Durant, right there, not a terrible look, but if you look at the inbounder, Goran Dragic, wide open. All right, and Kevin Durant is an able passer. Kevin Durant had 11 assists last night. He has some great feeds to Claxton and Drummond, I believe, off the high pick and roll. I mean, he can pass. And so I'm not blaming him for not making the right play, but I'm saying that is the play he should have made. And this notion that, oh, if he's a cold-blooded killer, he's got to take the shot. We saw Michael Jordan pass it off. Steve Kerr, Bill Winnington, other players. We've seen it before. The player, make the right play. Not you don't have to always take the last shot.
But that is also, by the way, and I didn't bring it up, but since Brew did, I'll obviously walk through the door. That's also the shrapnel from how unfairly LeBron has been covered, where all of a sudden there is almost an odd, like, masculinity to taking the shot, even if it's not the right play. And it's lionized. And it is one of the reasons why, Brew, and it's not just in the media. It is certainly amongst players. You bring this up all the time. That amongst former players, Kobe, everybody knows Kobe's one of the greatest players ever. But there's an element of players that will say, Kobe is the second greatest player ever. And what they will say is, he had the killer instinct. He always took the shot. Even though we know we have the data, those were more often than not winning plays, not the right play. But there is an element but that's what you have to do when the goal is to win. And I'll tell you this much right now. And I think it's an interesting angle that you're saying that Dragic was there. Would have been a tough play because the time was so short, but I see it. But I will tell you definitively, Antoine said earlier, the only two guys in the league that make that pass are Luka and LeBron. I'll tell you a third who might. Giannis. There ain't no ego to Giannis when it comes to how we're going to win this game. He talked about it last year in the finals. Like, why would I want to take the free throws? Chris is great at it. I don't care. Why? Now, last night was interesting because Middleton was out because of the terrible ejection. So Giannis did take the three. But I'm telling you right now, there is, if Giannis saw a better play available, he's taking it. Again, in real time, I think it would have been a very difficult play for KD to make. I don't think it's as simple as you seem to believe it is, but I understand your point. But I don't think there was ever a chance he was making that pass. He was always shooting it. It was all like that's what, yes, you know, Steve Nash drew up with his crayon. And so that's what was happening. And so like the Nets, meanwhile, I'm telling you, we might show up on Monday and the Nets are the 10 seed, having just lost to Atlanta and in real, real trouble, Wilds. I think that is absolutely on the board.
Will they be the most dangerous 10 seed of all time if that's the case? Real quick, Nick, I know we're up against it. You're a poker player. You're a blackjack player. Isn't there a case where, like, hey, this is what you do. You make a decision to play one way, and if the odds don't hit for you, you still made the right play. Can you view that shot through this lens? Okay, that's what I thought. Take the shot.
If you're
maybe
saying
it go in, maybe
I
it won't,
always
but that's
want
the right play.
KD to be, that's how I think KD... Right, that's why I'm saying I think KD can live with the results. You know what I mean? I trust the work I put in. I trust the numbers on it. And so I'm not killing him for that, even though, of course, as Broussard said, LeBron would be eviscerated for it. And then if LeBron, can you imagine if LeBron...
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.